Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 287. It's 2.5 hours in length, and the title is Don't Put Your Foot in Your Mouth When Talking About Mad Cow Disease, and That's No Bull. This is being recorded on April 7th of the year 2001. Let me stress at the outset of this program that this inquiry is speculative in nature, and this is, and this will be a terrible pun, a well-recognized category to veteran listeners, food for thought and grounds for further research, or perhaps I should say ground beef for further research. We're going to begin by taking a look at foot and mouth disease, and once again, I want to stress that unlike an awful lot of people in the conspiracy community who have been stating definitively what this is about, I don't pretend to have the last word, but I am more than a little suspicious about the outbreaks of both foot and mouth and mad cow disease, and we're going to be taking a look at a number of different aspects of both ailments in a geopolitical context, and we're going to be asking some questions. We're going to begin with an article from the Financial Times of London from Wednesday, April 4th of the year 2001. This is an article by Michael Mann in London and Dan Bilewski in Brussels. It's headlined, Brussels to Probe Disease Outbreak. This refers to an EU investigation of foot and mouth disease. The European Commission said yesterday it would launch a thorough investigation into the causes of the foot and mouth disease outbreak, which has crippled Britain's farming industry and spread to three other European Union countries. David Byrne, EU Health Commissioner, told the European Parliament the wide-ranging inquiry would look at issues including whether to continue the bloc's opposition to vaccinating animals against the virulent livestock virus. It would also investigate the feasibility of improving the tracing of livestock movements, whether existing animal transport regulations increase the risk of diseases spreading, and whether there is a need to tighten controls on meat imports. The current outbreak is widely thought to have been started by an illegal shipment of meat. Note that last element for future reference. Skipping down. Mr. Byrne said the Commission's investigation would look at other longer-term issues connected with the disease, including the practicality of new marker vaccines under development and tests which would allow vaccinated animals to be distinguished from infected ones, thus increasing the scope for protective vaccination. He told the Parliament that the current outbreak was already likely to cost the EU budget €170 million, or $149 million. Note several aspects of this article. First of all, that an illegal shipment of meat is suspected of causing the outbreak. Note that this has placed a strain on the EU agricultural budget, reducing individual governmental subsidies for EU agriculture. It was a major element on the German agenda for the EU a few X number of months ago. We're going to talk about that. And also note that there's now been a push to increase vaccination for foot and mouth disease. We're going to talk about some of the potential companies that would benefit from that vaccination program and that in a few minutes. A review of an article presented in For the Record Program 286, an update on Germany. This deals with proposed changes in EU agricultural policy, and let me note here that underscore some of the geopolitical aspects of proposed changes in EU agricultural policy, I should not be misunderstood as endorsing industrial agricultural techniques, but rather I want to point out that both mad cow and foot and mouth disease have spurred calls and political impetus in the direction of changing European Union agricultural policy and individual governmental subsidies for European Union agricultural policy as a whole had been something that had been targeted by Germany when it was in charge of the rotating EU presidency. This is from the Financial Times of London of Monday, March 5th of the year 2001, an article by Haig Simonian, headlined, Germany signals that European Union agricultural policy has to change. It reads in part as follows. If torrents of words from politicians are enough to indicate a fundamental change of policy, then Germany's European Union partners had better pay attention to what is being said in Berlin on farm policy. Since her appointment to the new Food, Farming, and Consumer Protection portfolio in January in the wake of the crisis over BSE or mad cow disease, Renate Künast has intoned the need to move away from intensive farming towards organic products and natural animal rearing. And again, my examination of some of the geopolitical and economic maneuvering here should not in any way be misunderstood as a criticism of organic or natural farming, or of or as an endorsement of industrial agricultural techniques, but again, in asking questions, and this entire broadcast is in the interrogatory mode, in asking questions about mad cow and foot and mouth outbreak, both of them intensifying as I speak on 4/7/2001, one wants to look at cui bono, who benefits from these things, or who could potentially benefit. Continuing with the article, quote, "The BSE scandal marks the end of agricultural policy the old style," unquote, she told Parliament last month. A leader of the environmentalist Greens, Ms. Kunas, declared that national room for maneuver in agricultural subsidies must increase, unquote. Skipping down, "To date, France has indicated no enthusiasm for change, but last week in the United Kingdom, where the outbreak of foot-and-mouth disease has brought much of the agricultural industry to a standstill, Prime Minister Tony Blair echoed Ms. Kunast's sentiments. Quote, "The types of issues we have got to look at are to do with the type of agricultural production we want to encourage, are to do with issues about intensive farming or not, are to do with issues of diversification and how we are going to market our own produce as well," unquote, Mr. Blair said. And skipping down again, by the way, note that initially France and to a lesser extent the United Kingdom had opposed some of the German proposals for the EU. Resuming with this article and skipping down, "Ms. Kunast has certainly changed tack. Her demand for less intensive agriculture has been somewhat revised after appreciating the consequences for the big farms of eastern Germany. Recently, she also pulled back from a collision course with Franz Fischler, the EU Farm Commissioner, on BSE. Many observers are convinced that the mad cow crisis has triggered a genuine reassessment of farm policy in Berlin. But Mr. Schroeder has stopped noticeably short of demanding the reopening of the long-term farm reform he failed to impose completely in 1999, when Germany held the EU's rotating presidency. Progress appeared to have been made on the principle of co-financing, under which EU expenditure would have been cut by shifting part of the farm spending burden to member states. But in the end, the then still inexperienced chancellor ran up against the unyielding opposition of France's President Jacques Chirac at the March 1999 Berlin summit." Although this article deals mainly with BSE or mad cow disease, note that foot and mouth has accelerated the pressure on European agricultural communities, or countries, I should say, or the agricultural communities of various countries, and may very well be spurring reform or moves for reform or change. So again, it's going to be interesting to see just exactly what stems from the not only mad cow disease outbreak, but also the foot and mouth outbreak as well in terms of European Union agricultural and economic policy. The Financial Times of London of Monday, April 2nd of the year 2001 has noted that the outbreak of foot-and-mouth disease has postponed the British elections, and it's having a profound effect on the sociological and political landscape of Britain. Again, the Financial Times of 4/2/2001 has the following article by David White in London. It's headlined, "British Elections to be Postponed in Wake of Foot-and-Mouth Crisis," and subtitled, "Prime Minister Tony Blair Responds to Calls to Put Epidemic Fight First." This article reads in part as follows. Tony Blair, British Prime Minister, has overridden the wishes of his own Labour Party by delaying plans for parliamentary elections until June. The decision follows calls for postponement from farmers, opposition politicians, business organizations, and church leaders who say Mr. Blair should give priority to fighting the foot and mouth disease epidemic. The number of animals killed or destined for destruction since the outbreak began was yesterday approaching 1 million. So again, note simply from for an observational standpoint, that the outbreak of foot and mouth disease is having a profound effect on British politics. It has already resulted in calls for the postponing of the parliamentary elections, and it looks like those elections are indeed going to be postponed. I would also note that there has been an outbreak or a heightening of xenophobic tensions in the United Kingdom because Chinese, people of Chinese extraction are being blamed, perhaps incorrectly, perhaps correctly, I don't know, for the outbreak of foot and mouth disease in the United Kingdom. I'm skeptical whether this had anything to do with the Chinese community in the United Kingdom, but I would note in passing that the Chinese community is being blamed in the United Kingdom, and they are being scapegoated for the outbreak. The San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, April 7th of the year 2001, had the following story by Véronique Mistien, M-I-S-T-I-A-E-N, of the Chronicle Foreign Service. This is Dateline London and headlined, "Disease Stirs Ethnic Tensions in Britain." The article reads in part as follows. As the grim mass cull of cattle and sheep continues relentlessly across Britain, repercussions from the foot-and-mouth epidemic spread deeper and further every day. The disaster is having effects far beyond the distraught farmers who must helplessly watch the slaughter of the herds that are now their livelihood. The victims now include the country's Chinese community, the tourism industry, and the environment. After reports that the government is investigating the possibility that meat illegally imported from Asia might be the source of the disease, Chinese restaurants across the country have reported a drop in business of as much as 40%. The drop has had a huge impact on the 300,000-strong Chinese community because more than 70% of its members are involved in the catering industry. The suspect meat, destined for a Chinese restaurant, found its way into pig swill at a farm in Northumberland where the outbreak began. Only 1% of British pigs are fed swill, food made out of discarded meals from restaurants, hospitals, and schools, and Agriculture Minister Nick Brown is expected to ban such feed soon. Quote, "We certainly have been damaged by these accusations," said W.K. Poon, editor of London's Chinese newspaper, Sing Tao. Again quoting, "Business is very quiet, and some restaurants have received threatening phone calls," unquote. Community leaders are planning a demonstration in London's Chinatown tomorrow to protest having been made a scapegoat for the outbreak and to vent wider discontent over racist attitudes that target the third largest ethnic minority in Britain. And I would note that British fascist groups have been very active in targeting minorities for the problems that the United Kingdom has experienced, particularly economic problems. That is a relatively common theme in Eurofascism, Jörg Haider being perhaps the best known of the xenophobic anti-immigrant bashers. That is a theme that has been sounded by Italian fascists, and there are elections coming up in Italy in May as well. So again, note that the ethnic Chinese community in the United Kingdom is being blamed for the foot-and-mouth outbreak, and that's another thing to note as well, that this is giving aid and comfort or support to a theme that is being resonant in British fascist circles, and not just British fascist circles alone. I would also note that the foot-and-mouth outbreak has led to a re-examination about British policy with regard to vaccinating against foot-and-mouth disease. The following is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, March 28th of the year 2001. This is a New York Times story by Alan Cowell, C-O-W-E-L-L, datelined Carlisle, England, and headlined, "Britain Rethinks Vaccine," subtitled "Mass Slaughter Fails to Halt Spread of Foot-and-Mouth Disease." As Britain prepared to slaughter hundreds of thousands more healthy sheep that may have been exposed to foot-and-mouth disease, the government indicated yesterday that it might reverse policy to use vaccination against the outbreak. A switch to a fiercely debated vaccination program would fuel charges by some government critics that, after more than 5 weeks of rampaging infections through hundreds of farms and the killing of 441,000 pigs, sheep, and cows, Prime Minister Tony Blair's government was only now acknowledging that its policy of destroying animals had failed. And again, please note that vaccination is now being considered as an alternative. Previously, vaccination had been rejected because it could have impeded the export of British meat to other countries, chiefly the United States. An interesting element of what I call, once again, no pun intended, food for thought and grounds for further research, and it's particularly grotesque because mad cow disease affects the brain. I would note some of the companies that stand to benefit if, in fact, vaccination becomes more widely spread, vaccination against foot and mouth disease. This is from the Wall Street Journal of March 28th of the year 2001. It's an article by James R. Haggerty, Dateline London, headlined, "Outbreak may boost profits on vaccines for foot and mouth." The article reads in part as follows. For the first time in a decade, selling vaccines against foot and mouth disease looks like an attractive business in Europe. The current outbreak is likely to provide a modest boost to earnings of the three leading makers of the vaccine in Europe, Muriel Limited, a London-based joint venture of Aventis SA and Merck & Company, Akzo Nobel NV's Intervet unit in the Netherlands, and Bayer AG of Germany. Unless it is quickly brought under control, the outbreak could also strain capacity for making the vaccines. The disease, which is extremely contagious among animals but doesn't appear to harm people, has been found in Britain, Ireland, France, and the Netherlands. Bans imposed by nations because of the mad cow and foot and mouth disease outbreaks have halted 94% of the European Union's beef exports, the EU says. The EU has generally banned vaccinations for foot and mouth disease, believing it cheaper and more effective to kill and incinerate animals that might have been exposed. But the Dutch government, with special permission from the EU, began vaccinating small numbers of animals this week, and the British government says it may need to use vaccines, too. Well, again, in terms of asking questions about this outbreak, I would note that the outbreak of foot and mouth and mad cow has, according to the EU, reduced 94% of European Union beef exports. That obviously would help competitors for the European Union, and that obviously would benefit the United States. I would also point out that the major beneficiaries of the vaccination increase or the decision to vaccinate against foot and mouth would be largely German and European companies. Aventis is the company that grew out of the merger between Rhône Poulon and Herxt, one of the companies that grew out of IG Farben. Merck & Company is a major pharmaceutical company in the United States with strong German connections. There is also a German Merck company. It's not clear which of the two is specified in this article. Akzo Nobel's Intervet unit in the Netherlands is another of the beneficiaries. And Bayer AG, which along with Herxt, which merged with Rhône Poulon to form Aventis, is another of the companies that grew out of IG Farben. So in terms of asking who benefits here, the vaccination program against mad cow disease would foot and mouth disease would benefit a number of European pharmaceutical companies, chiefly German companies associated with the former IG Farben chemical cartel, and that those companies in turn have very strong connections to the Bormann organization, about which I've spoken so many times. I would also note that a finger is being pointed by some elements of the conspiracy community, perhaps accurately, perhaps inaccurately, in the direction of the United States as a possible source for the foot-and-mouth outbreak in the United Kingdom and elsewhere in Europe. That, along with the absolutely lunatic policies that the Bush administration has been pursuing so far, from everything to missile defense to the policies it's pursuing in Asia, has already, in less than 3 months, alienated much of the world against the United States. And I would note that the Washington Post, a voice of the establishment, if ever there was one in the United States, has noted that the Bush administration is the most right-wing in the history of the United States. Ralph Nader supporters, please take note. You didn't think there was any difference between the Republicans and Democrats? It is not humanly possible to be any more wrong than that. So again, I would note that The outbreak of foot and mouth, as well as the mad cow outbreak, has done much to damage European beef exports. It has increased the possibility that the companies that manufacture the foot and mouth vaccine will profit handsomely. It has caused xenophobia against the Chinese community in the United Kingdom. It has postponed the British elections. And it is also not doing much for the reputation of the United States in the conspiracy community, and that reputation is justifiably low, frankly. Now, another element of the foot-and-mouth outbreak that we're going to look at concerns where this particular type of foot-and-mouth, or this particular strain of foot-and-mouth, is believed to have originated. And this would suggest very strongly that the scapegoating of the Chinese community in the United Kingdom, a trend which would benefit some of the fascist groups in the United Kingdom, this would strongly suggest that scapegoating of the Chinese community is misplaced. The following comes from the San Jose Mercury News of Friday, March 30th of the year 2001. This is an AP story by Emma Ross, Dateline London, and headlined, Foot and Mouth Trots Around the Globe. This article reads in part as follows. The strain of foot-and-mouth virus plaguing Britain's farms was first detected in India more than a decade ago. Scientists have been tracking it across the world since then, but are no closer to determining how it got to England. Considered the most contagious disease in the world, foot-and-mouth has widespread in Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and South America. Skipping down. Experts have identified the virus causing the current outbreak in Europe as belonging to the Pan-Asia Type 0 strain. The subtype ravaging Britain is normally found in the Middle East and South Asia. So please note that this particular strain of foot and mouth is generally believed to be most common in the Middle East and South Asia. That would not, of course, include China. I would also point out once again that among the possible outgrowths of this crisis would be a change in European Union agricultural policy, the reduction of general contributions to EU agricultural supports by a number of countries, and Germany had been heavily burdened in that regard, and a switching of that burden to member states is one of the proposals that is on the front burner. I would also note that even German agricultural policy is very much up in the air at this point, as there is a sharp division of opinion in Germany proper. I would also note that there is a strong push for federalization of EU policies in a number of different regards, that federalization being pushed particularly hard by Germany. Now, in terms of evaluating what actually might have caused the outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Europe, which, by the way, so far has not broken out in Germany, consider the following, and this once again is in the category of, sorry for the pun, food for thought, and grounds for further research. The following comes from the Financial Times of London of Friday, March 2nd of the year 2001. This is a story by the Financial Times International staff. It's about a new study by a United Nations commission of the Iraqi biological warfare capabilities, and beyond that, Iraqi capabilities for making weapons of mass destruction. Once again, from the Financial Times of March 2nd of the year 2001, this article is headlined, Missiles, Viruses Still Trouble Experts, and it reads in part as follows. Missiles, biological weapons, and chemical weapons form the three main areas of concern outlined in a classified report on Iraq by UNMOVIC, the United Nations Arms Inspection Group. UNMOVIC, or UNMOVIC, I'll call it, is a group of weapons experts and inspectors set up in late 1999 by the UN Security Council to succeed UNSCOM, the controversial former inspection body for Iraq, which was disbanded after it withdrew from the country in December of 1998. The new group's report is a preliminary document presented last month to a meeting in Vienna of the College of Commissioners for UNMOVIC, a group of 16 international advisors appointed by the Security Council to guide UNMOVIC's work. Skipping down, regarding the biological file, Unmovic found that, quote, the production of Agent B anthrax spores could be much greater than stated, and had such production taken place, the remaining quantities would still retain significant activity given the stability of this agent, unquote. Iraq's research into viruses, including polio, influenza, foot-and-mouth disease, the camelpox virus, infectious hemorrhagic conjunctivitis virus, and rotavirus, was also worrying. So noting once again, Iraq's research into viruses including polio, influenza, and foot and mouth disease was also worrying. Skipping down there and amending slightly. So I would note whether or not it is relevant here, the Iraqis were, according to a UN report, stockpiling foot and mouth disease. I would also note that within a very short period of time after George Bush took office, the United States and Britain launched an airstrike on Iraq. Whether or not there's any connection between that airstrike or those airstrikes and the outbreak of foot and mouth disease and the report that Iraq was reportedly doing research into the virus that caused foot and mouth disease and the fact that the strain currently affecting the United Kingdom apparently is found primarily in South Asia and the Middle East, well, that again is what I call food for thought and grounds for further research. And again, I'll apologize for the pun. We're going to continue this discussion, the discussion of foot and mouth disease and mad cow disease, in the second half of this broadcast. I've made reference to a number of other programs over the months and years. The various programs that I've produced are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That tape duplication service, again spelled capital S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, can be reached by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, that's P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com, and you can visit the website of Spitfire for detailed descriptions of the various programs that I've done over the years, particularly the For the Record programs, and there is a detailed and annotated description of For the Record program number 287, which will be on the For the Records in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website by the time this program goes out to the various stations that carry it. The Spitfire website is at www.spitfirelist.com. That's spitfirelist.com. And again, look in the For the Record section. There are also tapes of the archive shows and lectures available from Spitfire. Sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent For the Record programs are available on WFMU's website at wfmu.org/Dave Emory, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. And older For the Record programs are being archived also by WFMU on another related website. You can visit that website at http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/D-X/. Once again, wfmu.org/Dave Emery for more recent For the Record programs, and http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/D-X/ for older For the Record programs. Listeners can hear the three-hour program that I do on KFJC-FM in the Bay Area from 7 to 10 p.m. on Sunday and 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursday Pacific time on the KFJC website at kfjc.org. And people can email me at kfjc at demory at kfjc.org. That concludes Side A of For the Record program number 287, titled, Don't Put Your Foot in Your Mouth When Talking About Mad Cow Disease, and That's No Bull. This is being recorded on April 7th of the year 2001. We're going to continue this discussion in Side 2 of this program. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.